Everybody, it's Billy, and we've got a special episode of Run Chat for you today. In addition to just our normal banter, we're also going to lead you through a 30-minute running workout. And Ryan and John here are going to kick it over to John to get us started.
All right, you don't have to work out during this, but if you choose to, we're going to start with an easy walk or easy jog starting now. And again, we're going to do 5 minutes of easy running or easy walking. The workout is going to be a progression run. And every 5 minutes, we're going to discuss a different topic for the next for the 20 minutes after that first 5 minute warm up. And each of those 5 minutes, ideally, you pick up your effort. So whether that's 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, as your 4 5 minute segments in the middle. And of course, we'll finish with a 5 minute cool down, whether that's walking or jogging. So try to keep this simple. Overall, it'll be 30 minutes with 20 minutes in the middle. That's more quality, and you up to you whether you want to pick it up each 5 minute segment. And every time we change segments and topics, you'll hear this little noise. And that's a cue for you to go into the next zone, whether you choose to pick it up or not. Any questions, boys?
No, that made a lot of sense.
I think I got it. It's going to be really hard for me to run during this in front of this microphone, but I'm giving it a shot.
We'll try it later because luckily it doesn't have to be live for to utilize this. So
I'm at a 1 right now, just okay. So you know my effort level.
I'm going to test this out myself once this podcast is published.
And just like that, we're already admitted into the warm-up. So
I'd say a progression run is one of my favorite workouts to do. I just like the idea of running harder as it goes on, because it always seems easier to run harder the longer I've been running.
And then it can be totally effort-based, like I already went over, but if you're someone who's a little bit more clued into your paces because you were just training for a spring race, you can easily do marathon goal pace as your first five-minute segment, and then the next five-minute segment could be half marathon pace, the third could be 10K pace, and the fourth could be 5K pace. The problem with that is if you're not sure what those paces are, you just default to effort-based anyway. But if you're feeling great or feeling lousy, it doesn't matter because it's effort-based. So you're going to build into the run. So yeah, I like it too, Billy, where it's you know, every 5 minutes or whatever, every minute, whatever you choose, it's really just kind of allowing yourself to warm up a little bit and then ease into the workout. And sometimes 10, 15 minutes into a run, you feel way better and you surprise yourself with maybe with the pace you're running based on maybe how you felt prior.
For warm-up, we're talking like easy jog.
Yeah, warm-up, you know, for those, it could be an easy walk, a brisk walk. And then the first, we're about 2.5 minutes into the warm-up. So we have 2.5 more minutes of easy jogging or easy walking or brisk walking. And then once you hear that bell again, we're going to talk about one of our, the first of 4 topics. And Brian, what's that topic?
We're just going to talk about just generally what we've been doing in isolation this past week. Before we get into all the running specific stuff, we'll just have a little chat, catch up.
All right, we have 2 more minutes of our little warm up here, so it goes pretty.
So
quick.
Once we get into the first session, how hard of an effort should that be?
You can either keep it if you're not feeling that warmed up, because 5 minutes is not a ton of time, but you can keep it the same. I would say 5 out of 10. So if you're already at a 5 out of 10, I would stay put. If you're someone like yourself, you said you were 1 out of 10.
Yeah,
I feel so out of shape. I feel like a 3 out of 10 just sitting here. But yeah, I would say start the first segment at 5 out of 10, and then we'll build into 6, 7, 8. If you're feeling super excited about it, you can go to 9 or 10 the last minute or two of that fourth segment. But I would say Aaron going out too easy, and you can always make up for it later in the workout. Which will, again, that first segment will start in about a minute.
Yeah, when I do progression runs, I usually just kind of am headed out there and think, you know what, that's a good idea to do today. And I kind of have trouble keeping in gear. So hopefully this kind of workout, having the timer and having people talking to you and guiding you through it, should help people in the way I would need that help, just to keep sticking with it and not go out too fast or too slow in the middle.
And again, since we're breaking it down into topics, if you're not running at all and you're just drinking coffee or just hanging out or commuting or whatever, you're not going to be that bothered. We're not going to have too many cues other than the bell and some kind of cues on kind of countdowns as we get closer to the next segment in the progression run. So don't feel bad if you're not working out currently. You can always work out later to this. We're also going to do some other workouts that are a little bit different just to mix it up. And we have 30 seconds.
All right. Well, I guess we shouldn't just sit here at dead air for 30 seconds. That'd be.
I'm waiting.
You're waiting.
I just got into the blocks and I'm ready to go.
The warm up is always my least favorite part of the run. I think the start of any run is my least favorite.
Luckily, that because you have 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are now into the first 5 minute progression segment,
and our keep running
isolation. So pick it up 5 out of 10, which should be still pretty relaxed. But we're talking about what we're doing, how we're getting a little stir crazy. I did actually walk around Greenwood Cemetery yesterday, which seems a little bit morbid, but there wasn't
such a pretty place.
Wasn't a lot of people there. It was beautiful, beautiful day. Easy to do some social distancing. But we try to do one kind of walk with my family each day. And today we might drive over to Rockaway. But if you are nearby Brooklyn, Greenwood Park is a great place to be, because I felt like Prospect Park was almost too crowded. Everyone's kind of stir crazy, but I've noticed there's lots of people out in the park, at least a few times I've been out there. So Greenwood Park, I did not have that issue.
Yeah, and Greenwood is gorgeous. I've been there in the summertime in the past. It's great to run around on a normal day, and it's never very crowded because people don't usually think, oh, I could go run around the cemetery.
Except they don't allow you to run there. It's like a respect thing.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you could probably get away with walking briskly a lot. I do actually do a lot of runs around it, meaning on the outside perimeter of it, outside the fence. That's about a similar distance to Prospect Park, actually. So that's like a fair game, and it's usually not as busy as Prospect Park if you're looking for a little break. But definitely inside Prospect Park is, especially like in the main hours of the day, are definitely pretty crowded. And I think some people, you know, makes it a little tougher to kind of just do the social distancing. But yesterday it was probably about, I don't know, 5 to 10% of the population, probably even less, in Greenwood Park as far as people walking around. And so
as opposed to people above ground.
Above
ground. As opposed to people below ground.
Right.
I ran over the Brooklyn Bridge yesterday and then also the Manhattan Bridge, knowing that the Brooklyn Bridge tends to get crowded, but there's no tourists in the city anymore. A friend of a friend is high up at Marriott, and she said they're at 10% occupancy.
Wow.
In the city right now. You know, they've laid off a lot of workers. It's very tragic. But I just figured there wouldn't be many people on the Brooklyn Bridge, and there weren't. It was driving me crazy, both on the Brooklyn and Manhattan Bridge. Are these people who are running in pairs, and they're running side by side? Look, when I'm approaching you, go single file. Treat it like you're sand people from Star Wars. Go single file to hide your numbers, because the person who is running on the inside is almost like brushing elbows with me.
Right.
Because the Manhattan Bridge pedestrian path is not very wide. It's basically wide enough for somebody to head in one direction, somebody else head in the other direction. And then the Brooklyn Bridge, I was running into the bike lane, being very careful about it, always looking over my shoulder, just to avoid people who are running side by side. And then the absolute most, like, making me rip my hair out were people who are running down that center line, separating the pedestrians from the bikers on the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm like, you're running closest to everyone right now. Like that is not the place to be.
Yeah, no, it's definitely you got to use some respect your space and others, especially in these times. And just like that, we're actually, you know, only we're 3.5 minutes into that first segment, so a minute and a half, a little bit less to go until we ring that bell and we switch topics.
I can rant about people running side by side for a full 5 minutes. That is no problem.
I also watched Frozen 2 last night with my family, which was I know that was, you know, Disney Plus has released that early, so definitely catching up on your Netflix binge. It's a good time to do the binge watching.
Yeah, and a lot of comedians and musicians have been putting on live shows and concerts on Instagram Live. We were thinking about doing that today as well, as popping onto Instagram Live for a little bit just to see who's there. But Mike Birbiglia has been having other comedians on as guests for his fundraiser that Brian knows the details on.
Yeah, he's
30 seconds.
Can you guys hear me? I lost my microphone for a little while.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good. So, yeah, Mike Birbiglia has been on. He's raising money for the wait staffs of the comedy clubs that he would be performing in. And he's bringing in guests every time. A bunch of musicians are on. I saw Rhett Miller did some concerts. Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie and Postal Service. Andrew Bird's going to be on this afternoon, so I'll watch that, and we're done here.
We got five.
And we're almost done with this topic.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're on our next topic, which is the Olympics, and this is our second 5 minutes segment. So if you start at a 5 out of 10, just ramp it up a little bit to a 6 out of 10. Okay, Olympics. Any initial thoughts?
This is very much like our part in the interruption, where we're like dinging and then like moving on to a new topic.
Oh yeah, you mean this isn't a totally unique format we brought in?
When do we start yelling?
This is a really good idea from John.
I'll take it. I'll take the credit, Brian.
But yeah, I'm very mixed on the Olympics in that, as a organization with a whole lot of corruption and just how much of an expense and a burden they put on the cities that host, I don't really feel bad for the Olympics. But then I look at the athletes and, you know, they worked so hard for this, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, nope, not going to happen. So it's,
yeah, I think some people also, you know, there's a window, just like the fall marathons that are, or the spring marathons that have now become fall marathons, which we'll talk about soon. But, there's a certain deadline, just like the NBA season or the MLB season, where you could postpone certain things and maybe condense the season. But with the Olympics, you could probably push it back a little bit. But then you start running into the conflicts with the world championships. So for those who don't know, the Olympics are every 4 years, which you should know that. But in track and field is also the world championships in the odd years. And then there's a fourth year that's neither. So next year, 2021, the actually world champs in track and field will be in Eugene, Oregon. So that's already set. You can't kind of like, well, you could, but it's tougher to swap out the Olympics. And then the world champs happen again in 2023. And then 2024 is the Olympics again. So I'm thinking if they do postpone it more than a month or two, they'll probably have to have it in 2022, in that year where there's no world champs or Olympics. And again, to Brian's point, that shifts, you know, people have already been training for 4 years. We just had the Olympic trials in Atlanta here in the U.S. for the marathon distance. Now you're adding another 2 years to your training cycle, which definitely is no joke. You know, some people are towards the end of their career. They're trying to peak and stuff and sponsorships and all those things. So I do think it's probably the easiest thing is to move it to 2022. And I say easy in air quotes there because it's definitely a lot of different work between the new host or the host that's supposed to host it in this year to have to move it 2 years, although that might give them some time to finish certain things, but in certain venues, which might not be finished now with the delay and different things. But it's definitely, the athletes for sure. And then someone as a fan, I love the Olympics, you know, so it's something that does bring the city to the world together. And it's definitely something that I think affects more people than the Major League Baseball or NHL. The Olympics is more universal, I feel like.
The Olympics are definitely more universal, and it's funny because it involves sports that I don't care about at all for 3 years and 48 weeks out of that fourth year. And
dressage or dressage?
And then for a month about, I'm just like all in, and you know, I'm up on like the latest news on the different forms of gymnastics. And that's true for the winter sports too. But and I see what you're saying. It just seems like there's a big condensed timeline, both in the fall marathons, I think everybody is talking about because of that super condensed timeline. But then also your point about these premier worldwide events, and you can only have so many on any given calendar.
Well, what is the chance that they just replace the world champs in 2021 with the Olympics instead? Is that a thing that could happen?
Could you combine them?
It could be. I mean, basically, the Olympics are the world champs. It's just an Olympic. It's not a year. So it's in one hand, it's the same exact thing as far as I won the 1500 meters. I'm the champion. I get a gold medal. It's just,
oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So, but I think there's probably, you know, again, there's economics to this. And I think I would say moving it to just having it 2 years later, because there is nothing that it needs to replace, because 2022 is that off year in the 4 year cycle where there's no world champs or Olympics. To me, that's the obvious choice, just to move it to 2 years. I know there's issues with that and people have to train and there's economic impact, but
there's the non-track and field events too.
Right, exactly. So I think moving it to 2022 at least would be more, yeah, exactly. It's not just track and field, it's everything. So on that note, we're already 5 seconds away from our next ding, ding, ding. Here we go.
I hope whoever is running right now is feeling good about it. They're keeping their distance. If you're listening to this still in the time of coronavirus and it's not months later and we've all come out the other side of this, God willingly.
Yeah, you actually can follow this type of workout and conversation at any time. If you were doing a 6 out of 10, we want to ask you to go to a 7 out of 10 for this third out of 4 5-minute segments. If you're feeling not great and you just want to maintain what you're doing, perfect.
So what's this, about a 10K pace, you said?
Yeah. So if you're doing the race distance, this would be a 10K pace. And the next would be the 5K, because you just did the marathon and the full and a half pacing. Or, you know, 7 out of 10, getting ready for that 8 out of 10. But fall marathons, which is kind of good segue to what we were just kind of talking about, the condensed timeline.
It's ridiculous.
It's again, I feel less bad for the runners now that we just talked about the Olympics, but it's all relative.
There's going to be things that you have to accommodate, and you know that this is a lot bigger than just a race or a lot bigger than the Olympics, and that it's a worldwide thing. So as much of a bummer as these things are, there is some reason behind it and a bigger thing that you have to weigh out a little bit.
Sorry, Brian.
Well, I was just going to say, then we got, what, 5 or 6 marathons in the span of 2 months? I mean, major marathons?
Yeah.
And some people definitely were, you know, some people like to do the Berlin-New York double, because Berlin's fast and New York is pretty fun, and you can take it, you know, you have 6 weeks in between. So that's, but now you have some people add Boston to the mix or London or another race. And so I've been telling people, as a coach, is pretend that you did your race in the spring, kind of like go into recovery or maintenance mode, which you're kind of forced to anyway, and then wait for the next 16 or 12 or 20 week buildup for that fall marathon, if you're focusing on one. Now, several marathons come into play. That's, you know, you have to kind of work with a coach and how to play that out. But don't try to continue your training from now all the way to the fall, because you'll get mentally burned out for sure. And then maybe even physically burned out and overtrained. So definitely, I would say, pretend you kind of ran that race as far as the training cycles, and then retreat a little bit, regroup, work on some core and strength, and then kind of, you know, build up for that next marathon. I really recommend not just training through as much as you can, because, you know, 6 month or 8 month training cycle, I think, is a little bit long.
So you're saying the big danger is overtraining.
Well, yeah. If you don't take a break, because some people say that they didn't run their race, then maybe they ran a half marathon on their own, but it's, you know, more likely they didn't run Boston, they didn't run London or another race they were going to run. It might be easy to say, well, I'll keep training. And I just think mentally and physically, you're better off resetting and just saying, like, you know, kind of pretend that race happened. You don't have to recover from it because it didn't actually happen. But, and then 16 weeks out from Chicago or New York, start back up again, just like you're running another marathon. The danger of just continuing on, if you're up to 18 miles and your long runs, and then you're doing 20, you don't need to be doing 20 mile runs all summer, starting now in the spring for that fall marathon. You'll get bored, or you'll get overtrained, probably get injured. So reset, nurse that injury back if you have one, work on your strength, which we'll talk about probably in the next final segment. But that's just one piece of advice I had, is reset, which you're kind of forced to do anyway.
Do you recommend people, you know, do something with that original date, like run, you know, make up their own race for that day, or?
Yeah, I think you kind of call it off. Or even if it's a marathon, maybe running a half, because that's something that I think most people can go out and run 13 miles and at least if they feel like they want to do something, they're itching to, or maybe run a 5K time trial or 10K time trial, so they're getting some actual results from their actual training. But to go out and run a full marathon on your own, you're probably not going to run that well. But I can
Replicate the conditions or the support on the course. Think,
you know, run a faster, you know, shorter distance to kind of see the benefit and the all the fruits of your labor. Reset. You don't have to recover from a 10K or a half as much, but mentally, physically, you kind of check the box of something, and then you have your maintenance, and then you wait for that next kind of cycle to start. Just like that, we're already into our final segment in about 15 seconds. So this actually is a good segue into the last segment because it kind of runs into each other there. Pretty similar topics as far as what you can do in this off time. So if you're about to run your last segment, it starts now.
Should this be the peak segment? Is this where you're running the hardest?
Yeah, this is the fourth 5-minute segment, not including that 5-minute warm-up. So you should be at an 8 out of 10 if you're feeling great, and the 7 out of 10 previous 5 minutes was not too bad. Or you can also, if the pace might be the same, but you're more tired, so that's your effort is still going up. So definitely use this last 5 minutes to pick up the pace a little bit if you're feeling good. Back off if you're not. Doesn't really matter. This is a relative workout that's effort based. If you were using the race distance segments or kind of classifications, this would be the 5K pace. This last 5 minutes for sure. And Brian, what are we talking about?
Just what kind of workouts we can do now? Because I know for myself, you know, before I was thinking, well, I have this race that I really want to PR at, or I have this race that's a big goal. And now that I don't have to focus on those running goals, then I'm not too concerned with, oh, I should do more strength workouts now. And if I'm tired out from those strength workouts, my running might suffer periodically, but it's not a big deal because I don't really care about those results for running. And I know it's all going to work in the long term. So what kind of workouts make sense to do either cooped up at home or getting outside to do? Anything you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure everyone's seen this when you're on your Instagram. There's, instead of just being one or two or zero live little circles where there's like five or six, there's you know, whether it's Mile High Run Club, it's Women's Health Magazine, Runner's World, Rumble, the gym, all these random gyms. Are all doing their version. Most of the good thing about core and strength, which is easy to skip, especially if you're mainly into running, is you could do them just with your own body weight and you don't need a lot of space. So you can follow along, whether it's yoga or meditation or a strength class. And since you're again, I talked to someone the other day, they're actually running more miles now because they don't have to go to work. They don't have to.
Oh, wow.
So there is that side of things. But
those are the people that are clogging up the park.
Exactly.
I had to run outside the park because these people are all in there.
But, you know, you can do more strength workouts. And again, you don't have to do a lot of mileage. And I think if you're nursing an injury, use this time to do that at home PT where you're strengthening your Achilles or your plantar fascia or, you know, runner's knee or whatever, and get healthy because you have the time. And then if you're healthy, think of something that you've probably been skipping in your training regimen. Could be meditation, could be yoga and flexibility and strength training. And I mean, you can really, again, a lot of these workouts I notice are 20 or 30 minutes. Like we talked about last episode, November Project, in almost all their 52 cities, they're doing live workouts on Wednesdays and some even Monday and Fridays. I was actually following Steve, who's the co-leader of Syracuse, and he's been doing something every day. Where you just 30 minutes, you log in, you're doing push-ups, you're doing sit-ups, you're doing you know, whatever type of strength. And oftentimes it's just body weight, or you're grabbing your detergent, you're doing, you know, it becomes a 5 or 10 pound weight. So try to use this downtime as an opportunity to fill it with, you can binge watch something, and read different books, but you can get there and work on your strength because you have the time. And then so when the training starts and then we come out of the other end of this, you're that much stronger, you're that much more flexible. Your meditation game is higher, you know, if that's something you're into. And so there is some things that you can do in your own home that you can follow along live or recorded like this and kind of get an advantage for that next training cycle to start. You know, again, it's just an opportunity that we have now, and let's make the best of it.
Oh, yeah. We are going to be so thirst trap photo ready once this virus passes and it's beach season. The Coney Island and Rockaways beaches are going to be full of very fit people probably the opposite. Cause for every pushup I do, I probably eat about 5 Girl Scout cookies while I'm cooped out at home.
I also, I think Wednesday I woke up and worked out with, or Friday with my daughter, I woke up and and tuned into the Brooklyn-Baltimore combo co-led workout. And then later that day, I was talking to my wife, and I'm like, I think I'm getting coronavirus. I'm all achy. And then I realized, oh, I did like all these push-ups and sit-ups, which I'm not used to doing. And that's why I was achy. And so that was a wake-up call of like, if 20 push-ups and some planks and some squats are getting me sore, I probably need to do more of them. And
you got about 30 seconds if anybody wants to ramp up their effort for the end.
Oh, yeah.
You can creep up to 9 out of 10. I rarely tell people to do 10 out of 10. But if you want to do 9 out of 10, go.
Is there ever a time when I'm doing 10 out of 10?
I usually save
it for that finish line. That like, last that 100 it? Meters.
If I'm in a race and I'm trying to like win my age group or win the t-shirt category or whatever, but
or just beat that person ahead of you.
Yeah. And just like that, that's our finish line for the quality part of the workout. Now we go right into our 5-minute cool down, which again is something easy to skip. But if you were running at a high quality, especially that last 30 seconds, we want to make sure we jog or walk to make sure we get our heart rate down. And we just kind of reset before jumping in, sitting at a desk or doing whatever. So, again, that went pretty quickly. Maybe we should do that format and keep us on track for next time.
Yeah, yeah, there's no digressions longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, we still need to, you know, when the fall comes around, there'll be so many people doing marathon training. They'll need us for the long run. So
we'll do those long run workout episodes where Billy just yammers on for a while. John and I go off to get a drink, have a snack, go to the bathroom, come back. Billy's in the middle of a story.
Three times 1 hour.
It's called anytime I'm hanging out with anybody. I call that Billy Unleashed.
It's Billy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I can only imagine how Billy's family deals with him cooped up all day long, every day.
They must be very fit.
They were very willing for me to lock myself up in the bedroom to record this.
I thought I could have sworn I saw Julie put a chair in front of the door as she went out.
Yeah, and a chain.
That's what that big click was. That was the padlock.
Yeah.
So we have about 3.5 more minutes of this cool down. Again, if you weren't running, you can use this to re-listen to it again. I'm sure it was so good. You know, every time you listen to it, you pick up something else. But just a 30-minute
workout. You can find the secret messages we laid in there.
We will do some other 30-minute workouts. I'll do some live workouts. I think Off the Hook Track Club, I'll probably start doing the Tuesday 6:30 just to keep consistently for my own self. I might do some quick live workouts and people can tune in when they go out there and do it on their own.
Your running while Instagram living, is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, so I'll probably do a version of that for Off the Hook at 6:30 on Tuesdays. And then last week I did it on Wednesday at 7 a.m. where I ran in Prospect Park. And people just kind of got up, checked in, and then checked back in when they were running. It wasn't meant to like listen to me the whole time, but we had about 100 people check in, say hi, and view it. And then obviously
so like 1% of the Run Chat audience, you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know. And who knows how many people utilized it in the 24 hours after that. But
yeah,
the next couple workouts we'll probably do an interval workout where minute on, minute off, where we're doing more rapid fire topics, which is a nice challenge for us because the 5-minute segments seem like a pretty quick rapid fire for what we're used to. And then a third workout we might do more fartlek oriented where we have a buzz, magic word, secret word, where if one of us says it in the middle 20 minutes of the 30-minute series or segment or show episode, you do a 30 to 60 second sprint at about 70%.
Kiwis Playhouse style.
Exactly.
And maybe we'll do a special workout for our friend Gary McLaughlin where we just talk for 2 hours while he lays on the floor and does nothing.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's how I treat most podcasts in general. So
that's called going full Brian.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so I think the next episode, whenever it plops down into your feed, is going to be our interval workout. So set aside a time when you want to do some 1 minute on, 1 minute off kind of activity. And next time you hear from us, that's what you'll get.
Yeah, we have about 90 seconds left to complete this 30-minute workout. I would say that's probably the most common. I mean, you have some 15, 20-minute workouts you'll see online that people are banging out. But 30 minutes, I feel like, is pretty standard. You know, once you get more than that, I mean, obviously some of the workouts we'll do can take longer than that if you're doing more volume, but you also could just listen to this back to back for 60 minutes. And that's how, you know, that works as well.
Or you could put it on half speed. And then you'll get a longer word.
Listening to podcasts at half speed has become one of my favorite things to do because it just makes me giggle so much because everybody sounds so drunk and stoned. Like to know what John, Brian, and I would sound like, or just tune us in at half speed and take us on your long
power, our old podcast sound.
Yeah, I guess if you go back to the first episode or two, that might get.
No, those are just at half speed. Those are just at half speed.
Oh, gotcha.
Today I've just been drinking. Final 10 seconds. Today I've just been drinking tea and water. It's so weird.
Interesting.
Quarantine life.
All right. Five, four, three, two, one. That's 30 minutes, not counting the Billy's intro for those that are or timing or not timing. But thank you for joining us. And we look forward to working out with you or just kind of hanging out on our next episode that's workout related if you choose to accept the challenge.
All right. We will see you soon, guys. Stay safe.
Bye, everybody.
Stay healthy. And stay physically distant apart from each other, but not emotionally distant. Run Chat, the podcast who cares.
See ya.